Currently, it's 30 degrees.
You're listening to Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. Huron Tiger Boys basketball hit the road yesterday as they traveled up to Aberdeen to play the Golden Eagles. Aberdeen led by three at halftime, but then Huron strung off a 7-0 start to the second half and then really took control of the game in the fourth quarter, going 10 of 10 from the free throw line in the fourth. They pull away to defeat Aberdeen 62-48. Blake Elwine, 30 points to lead Huron. C.J. Gainey, Colt McNeil, and 9 points apiece. Huron boys improve their record to 11-6 on the season. Looking at area high school basketball last night, boys, Wessington Springs defeated Hitchcock Tulare 77-48, and Sanborn Central Woonsocket topped Highmore Herald 66-56. Look at area girls' games last night. Wessington Springs defeated Hitchcock Tulare 49-35. For Springs, Avery Orth, 11 points, 10 rebounds. Carissa Schill, 14 points. Kirsten Heim had 10 points. Hitchcock Tulare got 14 from Cambry Hookman. Sanborn Central Woonsocket defeated Highmore Herald 48-34. For Sanborn Central Woonsocket, Liz Boche, 19 points. Jada Balloon, 11 points for the Pirates. Old Am Ramona Rutland edged DeSmit 59-58. Ipswich topped Sunshine Bible 53-44. And Groton defeated Redfield 61-37. A look at AA scores last night. Girls, O'Gorman defeated Washington 59-40. Harrisburg defeated Rapid City Central 67-56. Rapid City Stevens 42, Yankton 26. Jefferson defeated Brookings 52-35. Boys AA, Brandon Valley 66, Sioux Falls Lincoln 56. Watertown 80, Roosevelt 76 in overtime. Jefferson 78, Brookings 51. Harrisburg defeated Rapid City Central 67-43. O'Gorman 70, Washington 43. Stevens edged Yankton 40-39. That's the rundown of high school basketball. Yesterday started the first state event of the winter sports season in South Dakota. State gymnastics began in Pierre. Team competition yesterday. Both Class A and AA saw repeat team champions. In Class A, Esteline Hendricks won by a fairly wide margin, 142.596. Madison runner-up at 138.911. Hot Springs third, 136.461. Britton Hecla plays fourth. Parkston, Ethan, Hanson, Mount Vernon fifth. Duel sixth. Chamberlain seventh. And Vermilion eighth. In AA, Mitchell, it was a record-setting day. 151.444. Mitchell wins the team title, but not by a lot. Harrisburg right behind him at 149.995. Those two teams, pretty big gap from the rest of the field. O'Gorman third at 140.512. Watertown fourth, 140.495. Then Brookings, Pierre, Yankton, and Aberdeen rounded out the team standings from yesterday. State gymnastics will wrap up today. College basketball, mainly out of the Northern Sun. Concordia St. Paul defeated Sioux Falls 68-54. Winona defeated Augustana 64-52. That's women's scores. Men's scores, Sioux Falls 76, Concordia St. Paul 67. Winona defeated Augustana 80-67. That's the rundown of our scores from yesterday. Look at the schedule for today. As I just mentioned, state gymnastics will wrap up today. It's individual and all-around competition in Pierre today. Huron Tigers have three girls competing today. Senior Easton Eichstand, junior Cameron Ruth, and sophomore Ellie Peterbaugh will be in the competition today. Also today, and this is new this year in that it's on this weekend, the state wrestling duels will be held today. Class B in Watertown, Class A in Brookings. Everything starts at 11 o'clock this morning with first round. In Class B in Watertown, the top seed is winner. They draw number 8 seed Custer, 4 seed Philip Kadoka Wall, the Badlands Brawlers. Draw number 5 Kimball White Lake Plant Geddes. 2-seed Canton has number 7-seed Miller Highmore Herald, and 3-seed Bonham Avon gets number 6-seed Clark Willow Lake. The Class A is in Brookings. Top seed is Sturgis. They draw number 8-seed T Area, number 4-seed Aberdeen, number 5 Brandon Valley. 2-seed Pierre gets number 7-seed West Central, and 3-seed Rapid City Stevens gets number 6-seed Watertown. As I said, it starts at 11 this morning with those first-round matches. They'll move to the semifinals. Championships will begin at 2 o'clock this afternoon. The rest of the schedule for today, basketball doubleheader. Miller is at Todd County. Girls basketball, Warner Classic is today. Woolsey Wessington draws Jones County. Highmore Herald gets Langford. Boys basketball today, Iroquois Lake Preston's at Arlington. DeSmit plays Hills Beaver Creek, Minnesota. It's part of a classic in Elkton. There is hockey today. Brandon Valley is at the Huron Boys. That's our local schedule for today. Quick note here, Tiger Roar Booster Club postseason potluck for gymnastics is set for a week from Tuesday, February 20th, High School Commons, beginning at 6 o'clock. Everyone is welcome to attend. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll preview state gymnastics with Huron Tiger coach Julie King. We'll hear from Huron Tiger girls basketball coach Cody Kaufman and boys basketball coach Tim Budenhagen. And our Dakota Sports Saturday show will get underway at about 8 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Hey, and first up this morning is Tim Budenhagen, head coach of the Huron Tiger boys. Tigers, a nice win last night. Always a good win when you can go on the road. They defeat Aberdeen 62-48, falling away late in the game. And, coach, a lot of good things out of that. Always tough, as I said, to go on the road. Trailed at halftime, but kind of took control, especially defensively in the second half.
Yeah, I thought we did a fantastic job the second half. We didn't let their guards get into the middle of the paint. I thought they probed the paint way too many times in the first half, and that got them good shots, got them layups, got them to the free throw line. They got the ball inside out. They hit three threes in the first half. They had zero in the second half. So I thought we did a better job. We challenged the guys at halftime, just said we're not doing anything that we worked on during the week. We got, 23-42, can't get threes, and 42 had two and 23 had one. That's 9 points of their, I think, 30 at half. We give up 30 at half, and that's not us. So I thought the second half that we came out, we were focused. We took away, again, their penetration. When they miss shots, that led to easy baskets at the other end.
And I think that defensive side just starts with those three guys, plus you have guys coming off the bench. But C.J. Gainey, Gavin Moding, I would say show me two better defensive guards in the state. And then Colt McNeil, he's just intense. So it begins with those three guys, and then those three guys can funnel underneath where Anderson Porish and especially Blake Elwine are. And already I think the scouting report on Blake Elwine is you don't want to challenge him underneath.
Right, because it does a nice job of getting both hands up, going straight up, the rule of verticality straight up, and it's tough. I mean, he's 6'8 with long arms, and it's tough to see the basket when he jumps up and he guards the basket. And, those guys do a nice job up front of, keeping guys off balance, off base. And then when you funnel them to the big guys, and Anderson's athletic as well, it's a tough shot. And when it's a tough shot, the other one's on the opposite side rebounding. So I think that, defensively, like I said, we're as quick as anybody, I think. We're tough. We're hard-nosed. We're gritty. And the good things happen when you have a tough defense.
And offensively, Blake Elwine with 30 points, and he was just working hard. We're starting to see a little more back to the basket, which is becoming a lost art in these days of basketball. He's got that quick spin move, and he can just bank it off the glass, and he can just keep the ball up over where most other kids can't get to it.
Yeah, he's really patient right now. He's doing a nice job of facing up and then attacking. We did a lot. The first charge call he got was we bounce it and we hip the guy, the defender, and then all of a sudden they can flop. Well, if he just squares them up, they can't flop, and he's hard to guard. Last night, 17 assists, 6 turnovers. I don't know when the last time we did that, because we were close to a 1-to-1 ratio, but this was a 2-to-1, almost 3-to-1 ratio of assist over turnovers. That's a fantastic night for us.
You know, and I mentioned Blake Yelwine with the 30 points because he did have foul trouble last night, and the interesting part of that is he picked up his fourth foul. You left him in, took a gamble, left him in for a couple minutes, and took him out, and we actually kind of got some separation at the end of the third quarter with him on the bench, and that shows the other guys there that, you know what, we can still make runs.
Well, when you have, you know, Colton Ogle coming in, he's long, footy strong. Holding strong down low, they can bat. This is a game where they can battle, you know, their big kid in the middle. And I thought they did a fantastic job. Footy got around, got a big tip. We got a layup on the other end because, you know, he anticipated the ball going in and he tipped it. We got it and we're out on a fast break. Holding at the end, I mean, he did a fantastic job of keeping 44 away from the basket. And that allows us to, you know, keep Blake on the bench a little bit longer so that, you know, the time shortens up and then he can go back in and finish the job.
And just for those not inclined, footy is Carson Evans. And one other thing I was going to say, too, about Holden Haig before this year, I didn't know he was left-handed.
Yeah, he is left-handed. And, you know, and that's to our advantage because most people rip to their right. He rips to the left, so that's another element of surprise that we have.
You know, and we've been talking about those bench players. Trace Wynn's included in that equation as well. And you're getting good production out there. Sometimes you get the points, sometimes you don't. But the intensity level doesn't drop when you use your bench.
No, and that's why we're playing 9 guys, because you never know how long you're going to play or how many minutes you're going to play. But it's a quality of minutes that we get out of you. And you know what? I can't say enough about those 4 guys, because it's tough sitting on the bench and watching. But when they get in, they perform, and it's tough, you know, trying to get 9 guys in and time. But those guys, you know, they've accepted their role, and I appreciate it. They haven't complained. They just want to win. They want to do anything they can to help us be successful, and that's a sign of, you know, great kids.
You know, and not only that, you do have to remember, too, each one of those 4 has started at least 1 game. We rotated that one spot in the lineup for much of the season. Colt McNeil's kind of taken over in that, but still, depending on matchups, you might change that, and you're comfortable doing that.
Yeah, we are, and that's why we did that early in the year. Give them a start so they know that, you know, what it's like to start. They've earned it. They've earned the chance. So we just figured that, you know, if we can get each one of them a start, just in case something would happen, that they've already been in that role and they feel comfortable with that.
So now as we look ahead, I know we talked a couple of weeks ago about maybe we're going to stop looking at the Activity Association. Kind of hard to do that now, but really the bottom line is, when you look at that, we have one goal left from that standpoint: make sure we play at home. We know in a couple of weeks when we get to the SODAC, we're going to play a team that's going to be a tough opponent for us. We don't know who yet. It could be one of many teams. The one thing we can control is getting that game at the arena.
Yeah, it's still, you know, it's still a jumbled mess because
we won last night and dropped a spot.
Yeah, you just never know, because, you know, a team gets to 500. Now more teams gain points. It depends mm-hmm. how many times you played. Like Lincoln and Jefferson are now 500, so that gives more points to other teams that played them twice. Spearfish now is above 500, so that gives more points. I mean, it's just a jumbled mess. I just think it's going to take 12 wins probably to host a game, so we still got one more win to try to get. Next week's personal, I think. I think the guys feel that as well. So we'll see how we come out and how we practice this week.
Yeah, the next three games, there's not a bum in those three. Two of them are at home at least, but Watertown next Friday, then close out the following Tuesday, O'Gorman, then Thursday at Brandon Valley. I said not a chump in there, so the work's cut out for us to get to that 12th win, but the first opportunity is next Friday.
Yeah, it is against Watertown. Watertown beat, you know, Roosevelt last night in overtime, 80-70. We're not giving up 80 points, I can guarantee you that, next Friday. I think our guys are going to be ready. I think we're going to be focused. Nice thing is we get this whole week. We actually get to practice Monday, Tuesday instead of, okay, we're going to just walk through the other team's stuff. So we actually get to practice Monday and Tuesday and then start preparing for Watertown Wednesday, Thursday.
You know, I liked your idea where you were talking about last night, where this coming week now is basically the dress rehearsal for the SODAC 16, because that will be a Thursday to Saturday, actually 9 days off once we get there. So you can kind of approach this week, you know, this is how we're going to deal with that SODAC 16 game when it comes up.
Absolutely. You know, we've already, you know, have our SODAC 16 plan in place. You know, we're gonna practice Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, give them off Wednesday, and then practice Thursday, Friday, and play Saturday, just so it's not so monotonous and we can break up the week a little bit, give them a day off, give them a day of rest, then come back with, you know, refresh, more energy. So this week we're giving off obviously Saturday, Sunday, and then we'll come back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then have a walkthrough on Friday morning because we don't have school, and then take it as, you know, business-like game. Hey, we got to perform tonight, and then I just really got a feeling that we're going to be playing well next Friday.
I'll just wrap it up with this. You know, you're basically on a goal reset, and I say that in a good sense of the word. You've said here for quite a while now the goal was to get to 10 wins. Well, now we're at 11. So once you got to 10, you know, we have to reevaluate, and really now the next goal is to get to 12 wins.
Yeah, it is. You know, we thought we could get to 10 last year. We got to 7, which was a good year. This year we thought, well, we got to start making plans to get double digits because that's going to host games. So we decide 10, and then all of a sudden now we're at 11. So, yep, 12. We got to get to 12 somehow, some way. We had a goal that in the 9-game stretch we'd go 6-3. We went 7-2 since that since January. Whatever it was.
Early January.
Yeah, whatever it was. So we went 7-2 in that stretch. We're at 7-6 at one time. We're now at 11-6. So right now, if we can win one of three, I don't know if that's good enough, but we'd take two of three.
That gets or us, three of three.
Yeah, or three of three. That'd be a 7-game win streak. Right now we're at 4, the biggest of the season. So we just got to keep our eyes set, focus on one game at a time, keep improving, keep sharing the basketball, have that brotherhood, I got your back type mantra, and then keep progressing.
Tim Budnick, and head coach of the Huron Tigers. Tigers win last night to move to 11-6, off now to next Friday, host Watertown at the arena. Still to come, we'll talk here on Tiger Gymnastics and girls basketball on Dakota Sports, KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, today the final day of the gymnastics season in South Dakota. The team competition held yesterday for both A and AA, and today it's individual and all-around competition here on Tigers. We'll have three girls competing today in the individual. We're joined by Julie King, head coach of the Huron Tiger gymnastics team. I know I say this every year at this time, but, you know, it's hard to believe another season's just about to be over. You're the first winter sport to begin practice, so it makes sense, too. You're the first sport to get to your state competition. There's been a lot of work and a lot of improvement here over the past few months.
Absolutely. I am so proud of the Huron Tigers. I tell the girls all the time, we're one of the few schools in the state that can raise our score almost 15 points in a season. And they did it again this year. And the unfortunate thing is we get the girls where they need to be at the end of the season, and then it's over, and then it's on to another season, and we wait until we can do open gyms in the summer and get started again, and you kind of start from scratch all the time.
We have three girls that will compete today, Easton Eichstad on the vault, Cameron Ruth, vault and bars, and Ellie Peterbaugh, vault and beam. So you got a senior, a junior, and a sophomore there, so nice for those girls just to advance.
Absolutely. I am thrilled that the girls made it. I am not surprised that they made it. We had some other girls that were close to qualifying as well, and I'm just very pleased with how the girls have been performing this year. And they qualified purely by making it in the qualifying meet at ESD, which, you know, can be a kind of a tricky meet, not only because it's a state qualifier for individual, but it's also a state qualifier for a team. Therefore, the stress level is a little bit high.
And also, you mentioned stress level high. That was kind of taken to a new extreme this year in a way, because but the whole gymnastics season just felt like it was in flux with Sioux Falls Public Schools dropping, and then they get the court order to resume. That didn't happen until, what, October, November, something like that, right before practices started. And it was kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants here just to figure out what we're going to do here at the end.
Absolutely. You know, it was a kind of a tricky season all the way through. We opened our doors, many schools opened their doors to Sioux Falls so they would have a chance to compete in several meets, and they didn't have to reschedule their entire schedule. So some of our duels went to quads, and quads got a little bit bigger than that. But we were more than happy to help them out. At the beginning of the summer, we were under the thought that we were going to make it as a team to the state meet, and then Sioux Falls so nicely got their season back, which we were thrilled because we hate to see any other schools lose out. However, that meant that we had to work that much harder to make it into the state meet, which is never a bad thing to have an extra challenge.
And, you know, it came down to where there were two conference meets now 2 weeks ago, and then you had a last chance meet at the end of last week, or a couple of last chance meets. And really, this was different territory. We'd never done it this way before, and that just meant a lot of waiting on the Huron Tigers' part.
Right. You know, they do last chance meets and track, and so I think that they got the same kind of concept. Gymnastics is a little bit different because you have to hit a score, a certain score, three times. For instance, on floor for AA, you have to hit a 9.2 three times to be an in-season qualifier. And that's what the last chance meet was. So if you went to the last chance meet and you already had two qualifying scores and you got that third one, then you would slide into one of the top 40 girls, because we only have 40 girls competing on individual day for state. And so when we got done with our ESD conference meet, I had an idea of who maybe made it, but I wasn't quite sure who also needed to get a third score to make it in as an in-season qualifier. So we were thrilled to get the email when we knew for sure that the three girls that I had predicted as far as figuring out what place they were actually qualified.
Well, your three girls, senior Easton Eichstad, junior Cameron Ruth, and sophomore Ellie Peterbaugh. Of course, nice to get that senior in there. Talk about each of the girls and their capabilities here now as we head in to the state meet today.
Absolutely. And I want to talk just a little bit about Easton, then I'm going to talk a little bit about Cameron, I'm going to talk a little bit about Ellie. But I want to just say, Easton Eichstad, she's my senior this year. She has been a tremendous leader throughout the entire season. She has been my steady Eddy throughout the year. I think her vault scores have been either an 8.6, 8.65, 8.7, 8.75 throughout the entire season. She didn't waver at all in that area. Her floor, she got some of her personal bests on floor. She had a 9-1 this year on floor, so I was very thrilled with her there, too. Her bars continues to get cleaner, and her beam has always been very nice. Cameron, she is a veteran to making it to the state meet. Her bars has always been very clean, very proud of that. Her vault is very explosive, and I'm hoping next year that she will make it in all four areas, which I know she can do because she's a tremendous athlete. Ellie Peterbaugh, not shocking to me that she made it on beam. Her jumps on beam are hip level high, which to some people that doesn't really sound that hard, but she's doing it over 4 inches. And so that's a tremendous feat. And I'm very happy with her vault. We have worked really hard with Ellie on vault. And she's finally wrapped her head around that handspring full, and she's done a tremendous job. So all three of those girls have had a tremendous season with great improvement, and it's great to have veteran leader as Easton has been all year.
And so now as you prepare for today, just tell the girls out, hey, you got no worries here. You're done with practice. It's just time out and give it your best.
Absolutely. You know, individual day is about them. They came to me and they said, what leotard do we wear? I said, you wear the leotard that you want to wear. This is about you. This is your day. This doesn't have anything to do with the team score. This is for you. And that's the one really neat thing about gymnastics. It's tough on the girls. When they have to do team day the day before and individual day the next day, you see some injuries happening just because the girls are tired. But again, this day is just for them, and I hope that they shine and do a tremendous job.
And overall, we'll just kind of go back to the beginning. I know you've mentioned it a few times over the past few months when we've visited, but Huron's always the team that makes the biggest strides. We're just a little different way that we have to do gymnastics here than pretty much everybody else.
Just a little bit, yes. We don't have a club. I would love to have somebody come in and open a club. Many people say, why aren't you opening up a club? That takes a lot of money, a lot of time. So maybe one day we will have one. But again, we will just continue to work hard within the policy of what we can do off-season and continue to improve and push the girls and get them to realize that they can be even better than they even thought they could be.
And lastly here, you know, there was so much, so many questions coming into this season, and realistically, it's bad to say, but we'll probably have some of those questions again here moving forward after this season, because Sioux Falls is here for this year, but then it's kind of up in the air what happens here in the future.
Yeah, I hope they're here to stay. I hope they don't lose their program. It's really important for us to keep our program alive. And we'll just have to wait and see what their school district decides.
Julie King, head coach here on Tiger Gymnastics. Three girls competing today in the individual portion of the state gymnastics meet going on out in Pierre. Senior Easton Eichstadt, junior Cameron Ruth, and sophomore Ellie Peterbaugh. We'll be back. We'll continue Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We are back at Dakota Sports Saturday and talk here on Tiger Girls basketball with head coach Cody Kaufman. Tiger Girls dropped to 6-10 on the season after losses at Pierre Tuesday and home against Aberdeen on a Thursday. And coach, unfortunately, both games were rather uncanny in their similarity. Halftime, you had to feel good. You were down 4 against Pierre at halftime, up 1 on Aberdeen at halftime. But then the second half, the wheels just came off. I don't know if we didn't adjust or the other teams did. Bottom line is both Pierre and Aberdeen built leads in the third quarter, and then we just couldn't come back into it.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the film and, you know, and the game plan from Pierre and Aberdeen, they didn't change anything. You know, our game plan in the second half was the same. We had to keep taking away the inside and making it tough for them to score inside, and we just didn't do that. You know, I mean, you look at the first half and Pierre, you know, the post touches and stuff that they had, they weren't getting easy baskets inside. Same thing on Thursday night with Aberdeen with their two bigs. They were frustrated at halftime, and we come out of the locker room and, you know, and they don't change things. You know, Pierre, Aberdeen, they are who they are, and that's what they're going to do, and that's what we saw on film, every film that we watched for them. When we come out of the halftime, we just didn't battle and execute, and I don't know if that's just a letdown. We're good enough, we're happy enough with playing one good half, or if we're that tired, type of thing. But we're 15, 16 games in, you would think that our stamina and stuff would be, you know, up there as high as it has been. I know we've played a tough stretch here of, you know, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday. So that's a lot of games and tired legs. But, I just didn't think we battled in the second half of either game. And the third quarter is ultimately what did us in both games.
I know you mentioned in the post game on Thursday, we did have a 1-point lead at halftime against Aberdeen, but, you know, just almost like the vibe in the locker room made it almost feel like we were down.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, that's something we've been preaching all year, and I thought we did a good job early in the year is, you know, when we're struggling to score the basketball, you know, shots aren't falling, we can't let it affect us, you know, and luckily our defense hung in there good enough in the first half on Thursday night, but it definitely affected us come the second half, and you could see that in the, you know, in our mentality and in our attitudes. And, you know, when your mind's not right, the first thing that's going to go, you know, when your confidence isn't right, the first thing that's going to go is your shot making ability, and we definitely saw that on Thursday night in the second half.
And give Aberdeen credit, you know, go to that game on a Thursday. They came out and knocked down some threes because really 17-16 at halftime, that means both teams are struggling offensively. But, you know, they started to knock down a few shots. And I think I said that at the beginning of the second half. Boy, if anybody can just knock down like back-to-back threes or just get a little run going, it's going to make a big difference. Unfortunately, it was Aberdeen that did it.
Yeah, you know, and if they make shots from the outside with those two bigs, they're a formidable team that can make a run deep into March, you know. I mean, nobody wants to play them because, you know, nobody matches up real well with them as far as size goes. So it'll be, if they make shots, just like a lot of other teams, but if they can make shots from the outside, they're very dangerous, and we saw that in the second half on Thursday night.
You know, you did like the play off your bench here. Basically, Tatum Peterson and Allison Janes have been the bench here, especially since Maddie Juergens went out with her knee injury about a month ago. And Tatum Peterson in particular, she's really picked up her play. I think she had 5 points on a Thursday, picked up a huge charge, which was really a big play in the win over Sturgis last weekend. And, you know, she's a senior. I think you mentioned, you know, she's realizing, you know, that my time on the Huron Arena floor is coming to a close. She's been one of those girls. It seems like we always have a player every year that's a senior that's just waited for their turn to contribute. And, boy, the second half of the season, she's made the most of it.
Yeah, you know, she's making the most of her minutes that she gets right now. And, you know, some games that's not very many. But, you know, she's earned it, and she's going to get more minutes here down the stretch because, you know, when you can put her in and rely on her to just play hard, excuse me, and do the right things, you know, be in position, you know, she's never going to be jaw-dropping, she's never going to score 10 points, but she's going to do a lot of little things that never show up in the scorebook, so credit to her again for staying ready all the time. And, you know, she'll be a big part of these last four regular season games and then going into the Sodak 16 game.
And talk to Cody Kaufman, head girls basketball coach for the Huron Tigers, off this weekend. And I know I mentioned it before and after the game Thursday. I think everybody's looking forward to a break here. Obviously, we haven't played the way we feel we're capable of the last couple of games, but also a grueling stretch and not a lot of games at home before Thursday. And getting a nice weekend off, hopefully that just recharges the batteries for everybody.
Yeah, you know, we gave them Friday off and then Saturday, Sunday off, and we'll come back on Monday and get ready for Lincoln on Thursday. But hopefully, you know, just to take a step away from basketball and, you know, clear our minds and, you know, everybody shows up on Monday refreshed and ready to go and hit this last four games, you know, two at home, two on the road. You know, a couple very winnable games coming up next week, and, you know, we'll need to be at our best because, obviously, now as we always are, but you know we're trying to jockey for, you know, seed points and seeding. So hopefully we can, you know, get a couple next week and better our seed and see what happens as the season ends.
Well, I know after the game on Thursday, he pretty much challenged the girls. You know, there's four games left in the regular season. You challenge them, what you want these four games to be? How do you want this to go? Just kind of leave it up to the girls.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and, you know, and we have six seniors and we start, you know, we start three seniors. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's ultimately their season, their end of their season. So, you know, we know what we want out of them, but it's ultimately we can't make them want it, you know. So they got to decide for themselves what they want to do and what they want to get done, you know, in these last 3 weeks of the season and see what happens.
And so I'm sure a little weekend off for you, too, just maybe get away from them a bit. But I think you told me yesterday, you got some birthdays coming up here, right?
Yeah, there's a few birthday parties this weekend and stuff. We're going to celebrate the Super Bowl with a birthday for a niece. And, we'll get away from it for a few days here and then get back to it and get ready for Sioux Falls Lincoln.
And just overall, again, you know, it's hard to believe, though, you know, for everything that's went on, 2 weeks left in the regular season. At the end of the day, you kind of look back as where did time go?
Yeah, you know, I was asked that question on Thursday night from the Aberdeen radio guy, too. And, you know, it's hard to believe that we're at this juncture of the season. But, you know, from a program and from a, you know, and a staff and, obviously, the girls, we've been through a ton this year, and so I think there's been some long, you know, grueling stretches to the season, but ultimately, as you look at the calendar, you know, it's gone by fast. It's pretty crazy that we're talking about four games left and then a Sodak 16 game, so we got to make the most of these last 3 weeks and can't take it for granted because it'll be here before we know it.
Cody Kaufman, head coach here on Tiger Girls Basketball, off this weekend, a week-long break, and this has been a long time coming for a tired bunch. They'll be back, and again, the game next Thursday, not on your normal schedule, because that is the makeup game from a month ago with Sioux Falls Lincoln. So at home against Lincoln Thursday, 6:40 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off on Tiger, then Friday on the road to Watertown. That'll be a 6:40 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off on KOKK. Watertown will be the last of our home and away mirror scheduling for this season. That'll wrap up this edition of Dakota Sports Saturday. Up next is Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Time now for the Top 5 Countdown. Here's your host, Monty James.
One of our favorite rodeos at National Western in Denver is wrapped up. The lead story in bold letters on the weekly PRCA press release proclaims that Denver bull riding champion T. Parker made $16,003 over the course of the marathon rodeo. That needs to cover travel, insurance, doctor bills, gear, and time missed from his full-time job. Compare that with NFL stud Joe Burrow, who pulls in $1,145,000 a week, 160 $63,000 a day, $6,820 an hour, $113 a minute, and $1.80 a second, 52 weeks a year, guaranteed, healthy or injured. Doesn't seem fair, does it? This week's TFC on the other side.
You know, it's a proven fact that there's two things that ranchers enjoy most. Well, actually three, but the two they enjoy most are raising good, healthy calves and saving money. If you're nodding your head, then you need to speak to your local Sioux Steel dealer today about our rock-solid calving pin care center, the most rancher-friendly calving pin on the market. Super tough, all the bells and whistles, plus a price you can afford. With these beef prices, you can't afford to lose even one calf, so you need to talk to your local Sioux Steel dealer today about our calving pin care center. Sioux Steel Company since 1918. Check us out at SiouxSteel.com.
Hearken now as we present the top five in each event in the world of pro rodeo. Big D, lock it down, and let's get it on. In the Bears, Louisiana's Taylor Brossard ups. Idaho's Coop Cook shotgun. Colorado kid Keaton Hayes, three card. Texan Bradley Miller, fourth. Denver champ Garrett Shadbolt rockets to fifth.
That baby is out of here.
Murdogin, big old Texan Justin Schaefer, top dog. Gurr, Will Loomis, number two. Aussie Travis Monroe, try. Ward and all, Mike. Oki, Ty Pearson, and Montation Ty Erickson tied for 4 and 5. Get it?
Oh, I get it.
Team Ropin, Dustin Egisquia, tip top. Then Wade Dennison, Egisquia, two, and kid. South Dakota's Levi Lord half risen to number one on the heels. Then Arnold Thorpe, Davis, and Futrell.
Killer.
Saturn Brown busting. Cade Bruno of Idaho is the man. Wyoming's Brody Crest, number two. Texan Wyatt Casper, third. Montana lad Quentin Stroh and Floridian Parker Kemper knife fight for 4 and 5. Come on now.
That's a knife.
TDR, tie down, type of rope, and Shad Mayfield, Chance Tyson, Johnny Douch, Sir Brushton, Mitten the seventh, and Riley Webb run 1 through 5, respectively. Fancy name, eh? Bumper Barrels, Texas Lasses, Abby Phillips, Katie Jo Halbert, and Ash Castleberry turn and burn 1, 2, 3. Jowgin, Taylor Carver, and Britt Poto number 4 and 5 in the countdown. That's what we call puking in the mic in the radio biz. I'm sorry. Bull riding, tis a man's game, brother. Creek Young of Missouri, aces. South Dakota's Mason Moody, $200 back. Jace Drossler, Fulton Rutland, and Hayes Waite, 3, 4, and 5 in the spin cycle. Join our happy little fam family at Territorial Rodeo Update on Facebook. Do it. Much love to Sioux Steel Company, DiscountWesternWear.com, and Purple Wave Auction. On behalf of producer Big D Derek Beck and the Air Force at this blowtorch, Monty James for America's Top 5 Countdown. In these days of consolidation, conglomerations, and giant corporate-owned dealerships, it's nice to see farm and ranch family-owned Premier Equipment expanding. See their impressive New Holland lineup at PremierEQSD.com or visit their hometown locations in Eureka, Battle, Huron, Mowbridge, Isabel, and now Sturgis. Bill Linscombe started this outfit in 1951, and now 4 generations later, they are still going strong and getting stronger. Parts counter is open, and the coffee is always on at the 6 Premier Equipment New Holland locations at PremierEQSD.com.
It is about that time we check in with Reg from Real Estate Connection Weekly. We talk about properties that are for sale. We talk about issues dealing with real estate. We mentioned that they have an office on Dakota South. You can call that office at 605-352-1300. That's 352-1300. Or you can get a hold of Reg directly at 605-350-2223. Now, you can not only call Reg, you could also text him. He'll text you back. He'll answer your questions about a specific property you saw at realestatehuron.com. That's the website. Maybe you saw it on the multiple list service. They are a member of that multiple list service, meaning whatever for sale sign you see, the Real Estate Connection can help you buy it. There are a few exceptions. They're called agency exclusives, but they're pretty few and far between. So not only can they sell you any property that you find, they can help you sell your property through their website, which again goes to that multiple list service. So you're advertising to a lot of people there. And if you want to sell your home, get a hold of them. They'll come out. They'll take a look at it. They'll do a competitive market analysis. They'll get that ball rolling. They'll give you a starting off price of where they think your home's going to fall. They'll get the ball rolling on selling your home. You're in downsize or upgrade. You want to move to the country? Get it going. Give them a call about that competitive market analysis. Hey, if you are thinking about buying a home, I would probably talk to my banker. Yeah, unless you got a couple hundred thousand in cash sitting around, you're probably going to need some financing. So talk to your bank. They'll kick you out a nice, neat little letter that says, hey, we're ready to borrow this person money. And trust me, that helps in the buying process. And then you head on over to the Real Estate Connection. RealEstateHuron.com. Call the office, 605-352-1300. Or call or text this guy directly, Reg Kleinsasser, at 605-350-2223 at the Real Estate Connection. Reg, how you doing today?
We're doing good, Matt.
So it is that time of year, Reg. Things are picking up. I've heard multiple stories of places going up for sale, and poof, they're gone before you know it. It's that time of year. It's heating up.
That's absolutely right, Matt. We had one last week that went on for a day, and we had another one this week that was on for a day, and it's been since the first of the year. It's really picked up, and I don't, you know, it's hard to explain sometimes, but I think it's just the interest rates have been easing for a little while, and I think that's gotten people kind of excited. And then this last week we had some really, really nice weather, and I think that's maybe helped a little bit too with some activity. So we also do have a couple new listings in the works. Not can't talk about them quite yet, but we do. We're working on a couple of new listings, so we'll talk about those in the upcoming days or week or so. But it's really picked up a lot from what the business was last fall. It was pretty slow markets for a while, and glad to be running like crazy again.
Yeah, that's always a good sign. Things pick up. Kind of the perfect storm. Like you mentioned, the weather got nicer. The interest rates have kind of come back to earth a little bit. Everybody's starting to move around and get optimistic about this market.
Yep, that's for sure. We want to talk this morning, Matt, about a couple properties. We mentioned last week we got a four-bedroom home at 876-14. We've done a little bit of tweaking on the price there. The seller is now offering a $5,000 seller credit for any updating that you would like to do there. Different people see different things, so she just kind of left it as an open deal where we'll give $5,000 credit at selling. So check it out, 876 14th Street Southwest. It's a four-bedroom, two-bath home. Got a nice amount of room there. If you need four bedrooms, it's a really well-kept home. It's got a detached, large single garage. It's in the southwest part of town that's near the middle school, the high school, the Washington school, grade school. So it's a really nice location. Easy access in the wintertime, the slow emergency route. Easy to get out to Lincoln or wherever you need to go. So check it out, 876 14th Street Southwest. Also, got a beautiful little home in Wolfe. This is a two-bedroom, one-bath home, but it's had tons and tons of updates and improvements and new patio door, new furnace and air conditioning a couple years ago, new sewer line all the way out to the street, two garages. There's one attached single and one detached double garage. So lots of nice stuff going on there in Wolfe. It's 171 Hatch Street Southeast. And just a nice little home in Wolfe. Then we've got a home out by Lexington. This is in the country. This is on 1 acre. But it's a five-bedroom, three-bath home. It's also got a really nice detached outbuilding, as well as a double attached garage, but a nice outbuilding that could be used as you could easily get a couple extra cars in there, maybe more than that even. But just a few miles west of Lexington, if you're looking for country living. The address on that one is 37110 203rd Street. So check it out. We've got some new listings coming up, and things are starting to roll.
Now, Reg, I know I generally a little bit about the Wild here. Can I interest you in the Minnesota Timberwolves, Reg? They're 20 games over 500. They're tied for the lead with the Nuggets in the Western Conference. Could I interest you in some Minnesota basketball action?
Oh, boy. Oh, that's going to be a tough one, man.
Yeah, you're just strictly a hockey guy. I didn't know if you were kind of a Minnesota sports guy. Maybe I could lure you over, you know, just to enjoy some success, because this Wild thing, this experiment is It's getting long and arduous.
You know, Matt, that's probably the only one I absolutely do not follow 1 ounce. I like Gopher sports. I like I follow the Vikings, the Wild, and but basketball, pro basketball, I just can't do it.
All right. Well, if you ever need a little lick of success, just hop on over, watch the T-Bulls at the end of a game, because they've been winning a whole bunch of them. And as far as the Wild go, it's got to turn around eventually. We know how to play hockey in this part of the world.
Oh, absolutely. And they did. They had their first game since the All-Star break a couple nights ago, Wednesday night. and they did beat Chicago Blackhawks. So I'm kind of... kind of optimistic. They're going to have to step up their game pretty seriously to get in the playoffs. But
well, and what do you get?
To watch.
You get 2 points for a win in hockey.
Yes.
I was looking at the thing, and that like 5 points would put them in fourth place in the conference. So they're really not that far out of it.
Not really. Nope.
All right. Optimism. I like it.
Yep. That's right. Minnesota hockey or Minnesota sports fan, right?
Right. You got to be optimistic. Otherwise, you'll just cry a lot.
That's right.
All right. Well, you have yourself a wonderful weekend. Next week there, we'll talk to you. Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Reg. Thanks. Reg Klontsasa there from the Real Estate Connection. They're on Dakota Avenue South. You can call the office 605-352-1300. You can get a hold of Reg directly, 605-350-2223. You can call him. You can text him. You can check out the website, realestatehuron.com. That's the Real Estate Connection.
Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 38. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 23. 45 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Temps swell above average Monday and Tuesday with highs in the low 40s. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
We are 1210 Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
The calendar may say it's winter, but it's always a good time to be focusing on the boys of summer. From the stars who make the plays on the diamond to the ones who make the decisions in the front office, let's bring you inside your hometown nine with Inside Twins. Inside Twins is sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
Well, good afternoon and welcome once again to Inside Twins. We're going to feature one of the newest members of the Minnesota Twins today, Josh Staumont. Very excited to introduce Josh to Twins territory. If you didn't have a chance to get to meet him at Twins Fest, we only have a couple of these shows remaining and a surefire sign that spring training is just around the corner. Josh will join us, in fact, from Fort Myers. We, of course, are brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated, how memories are created and legends are made. Again, we're just inching closer towards the guys reporting in Fort Myers and some actual baseball to talk about. But right now, why don't we welcome in the guy who was the first off-season addition for the Minnesota Twins, Josh Staumont, who joins the Twins after a wonderful start to his big league career with the Kansas City Royals. And Josh, first and foremost, welcome to Twins territory. And secondly, I'm a whole lot more excited to see you in this capacity than when you'd be running in from the Royals bullpen to strike out three of our guys. So happy to see you in a Twins uniform.
Yeah, at least I get to go through the same door out there in left field, but I'll be on a little bit higher bullpen this time.
Well, let's talk about that, because you were coming off injury. You had the thoracic outlet that cut your season short a year ago. You had some options. You had some decisions to make in your career. Where or how did this come about that you ended up in Twins territory?
You know, it's one of those things you just don't get taught as a player. It just kind of happens. You rely a lot upon people around you. I was with the Royals about 9.5 years, so it just flies by. Extremely thankful for the entire organization. I have not a bad thing to say about them. So, you know, it's just kind of like one of those things that all of a sudden you're faced with this understanding that you're a free agent and you can go wherever. That comes with its own set of things to learn and things to kind of understand. So as we went through that, you know, we had options everywhere. It was kind of nice to see, especially coming off some tough injuries, tough cards dealt. But I've always enjoyed playing in Minnesota. I've always enjoyed playing against the team. It's always been competitive and one of those environments that I've appreciated. So as we kind of started to talk to people in the organization, talk to, you know, see kind of the interest here, interest there, it just kept coming up as the number one. I'm super thankful to have been here, and it's been more than receptive and welcoming in my short little time here. So looking to keep that moving going forward.
Well, let's talk about you as a pitcher. And again, Twins fans are familiar with the sight of you in a Royals uniform. And you burst onto the scene. You were blade thin, and the ball just explodes out of your hand. Great velocity. You've changed up your mix a little bit in the last couple of years. A little more slider usage that you added in 2022. That's part of pitching, though, right? Constantly taking what you're good at and adding and mixing and matching?
Yeah, the game's going to constantly evolve. And I think that that's just one of those things that as a player in general, as data comes in and as all the stuff just keeps, you know, exponentially growing. And I think that's a good way to phrase it, is that, you know, as that stuff continues to rise and rise and rise, you inevitably are just going to have a higher floor. And I think that that's the hardest thing to see as, you know, traditionalist or, you know, somebody that grew up watching the game, and the game itself didn't really evolve. It was a very, you know, they not a ton of rule changes. It was like a hard-nosed style of baseball of, like, you know, we want to play 162, grind, just kind of grit your teeth and do it mentality. And so I think that just recently it's changed a lot to where the tech side has really advanced. And so you start seeing all this kind of this change, and two-pitch pitchers are starting to get eliminated, because when he's 2-1, he throws this X amount of time. And when these hitters can get into those 2-1 counts consistently enough, 1-2 counts, and they're sitting on one specific pitch because he's going zone here. It's the amount of data out there is not just watching video anymore and just getting a general feel for the guy. They genuinely know what the trends are, what we do, and sometimes even better than us. So a lot of it's kind of peeling back those layers, searching for what we need to work on, and constantly adapting and improvising. I've always said, you know, kind of as a kid, you adapt year to year. In high school, you're adapting, you know, month to month. College is week to week. Minor leagues is going to be kind of day to day. Big leagues, it's pitch to pitch. You're constantly doing this improvising and adapting it. You know, you take a team like the Twins, and I've already seen it firsthand. It's just like they know what they want to do. They're super open. Each person is unique. They want to maximize your skills, maximize your capabilities, and kind of, you know, make you the best version of you can be.
Josh Staumont is our guest here on Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, already in Fort Myers, getting set for camp to start. How big a deal was it for you to have the chance at Twins Fest just to meet some of the guys face-to-face? I know you've probably played against a lot of them, maybe played with some of them at some point in time, but just to be all in the same room before you show up in the clubhouse on day one.
Yeah, you know, it's we spend a ton of time together, and it's just one of those things that when we're on the field, a lot of things kind of settle, right? There's a lack of thinking. There's not too much going on. So, like, when you're on the field, you don't see a ton of the true person that's back there. We're playing. We're working. We're trying to be the best we can be. So being off the field and kind of taking that jersey off and being a true person, right, and, you know, player-person balance allows you to just truly know these guys. And so when you're on the field with your friends, it is a lot easier to motivate and kind of get those things rolling. So we show up to Twins Fest, and in 36 hours, we had not felt somebody that wasn't as welcoming as we could ever imagine. It was just constant.